Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into Burns Postgame Show.
Cole Reagans dials up a 96-mile-an-hour fastball. He sets a new career high with 12 strikeouts.
Brought to you by Guaranteed Foods. Guaranteed Foods is helping thousands of Midwestern families save time, stretch dollars, and eat healthier since 1958. And you can, too. Call 913-888-5000 or visit GuaranteedFoods.com.
Swinging a chopper left side. Garcia's got it with a dive. Spins, throws, in time!
This is your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan. Here's your Royals insider, Josh Fournier.
Yeah, all right, let's have a good time tonight. It's a happy flight to Chicago after a series win in St. Louis. The question is there a resurgent offense now in Kansas City? Royals win the finale of the 2025 I-70 series. This year it ends in an even split, but it ends with the Royals getting the last laugh. They take the finale by a final score of 7-5. Royals jump out to a 2-0 lead thanks to a Michael Garcia first inning home run. Royals then find themselves up 5-1 going to the bottom of the third, and they walk away victorious 7-5. Phone number, text line number, both are wide open for you. The number is 913-586-7965. That's 913-586-7965. There's a lot to talk about, but I think the most interesting aspect of today and really this series in St. Louis is the offense. I mean, are you guys buying what this offense showed you in St. Louis? Royals score more than four runs in all three games. They haven't done that all season. Not in a series. I'm talking three straight games. They haven't done that since before the Vinny Pasquantino injury last August. That was the last time we saw this Royals offense score more than four runs in three consecutive games. It's been a pretty long time. The last time it happened was the last time you felt great about this lineup, right? Now, maybe you felt confident coming into the season, hopeful with the arrival of Jack Caglione. But the last time you truly felt comfortable, confident in this lineup was when Vinny and Bobby and Salvi were at their Herculean best last season prior to that fluky thumb injury in Houston. But yeah, the Royals have scored more than four runs in three straight games. Now, if you go to the series before, you know what? Forget that. If you look at the first 60 games of the season, the Royals only had 10 instances of scoring more than four runs, meaning they were doing it on average once a week, right? Once every six games, they would score more than four. Once a week for the first 2 months, Jack Caglione shows up, and the Royals have put more than four on the board in every single game. What do we make of it? What do you make of it? 913-586-7965. Once a week to every single night. Now they head to Chicago to take on a White Sox team that is, yes, the dregs of the division, and you are going to avoid the best arms that they have, but you're still going to see some quality, certainly on Sunday with Shane Smith on the hill. But are we buying this resurgent offense? Caglione shows up, goes 1-for-13. Cags tonight 0-for-4 with a trio of punchouts. But Cag shows up and the Royals rattle off a pair of wins, a 10-run outburst on Tuesday. They put 5 on the board in the extra inning loss earlier today, and they dropped 7 on the St. Louis ace, Matthew Liberatore. They put 2 on him in the first, 3 in the third, another in the fourth, and they kick him out of the game with a run in the fifth. Royals win 7-5. Let's get to the phone calls. 913-586-7965. A quick shout out to the bullpen. 6 innings, 3 base runners allowed total. Royals relievers recorded 18 outs tonight, half of them via punchouts. That's now 2 thoroughly impressive performances by this Royals bullpen. Now, earlier today, after the bullpen lost game 2 of this series, now, to me, I laid that loss at the feet of Bobby Witt Jr., but you guys were apoplectic about the decision-making of Matt Quatrero and his use of that bullpen. Boy, do you feel silly now? Do you feel silly going all in on the manager for his bullpen use when, in the opener of this series, he maneuvers his bullpen to the tune of 6 1/3 innings of shutout baseball? And then in the finale of the series, he maneuvers his bullpen to the tune of 6 innings of shutout baseball. Shout out Q, the pitching department, and of course, Angel Zerpa, Steven Cruz, and Carlos Estevez. Oh, there's so much to say after this one, but I think we need to focus on the offense. You can talk about the bullpen. You can wonder what's going on with Cole Reagans. But let's start off in Raymore. Charlie, you're hitting leadoff tonight. Go ahead, pal.
Hey, Vern. You talk about blaming Bobby Witt. I think the blame goes to the manager. That poor pitcher, he pitched his ass off, and you're going to go into the 7th, 8th, and 9th and starting out with Schraber and Lynch?
That's crazy. You are going back to the first game. Okay, so you're still on that. That's
unbelievable.
Interesting.
Wow. That he would not go ahead and close that game out. We'd be talking about a series win instead of a split.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I appreciate the phone call, Charlie. That's unbelievable. That's a plant. I think that was Fesco. Maybe Rob Brenton. That doesn't make sense. That's how you're starting this show off after a series win in St. Louis. The bullpen in the 2 victories throws 12 1/3 innings of shutout baseball, and you're saying the manager doesn't have a feel for his bullpen. You're a ridiculous person, Charlie. Let's go to Oaks in Overland Park. Oaks, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. I just like to clean it up from that first caller because I'm absolutely stoked about this team. I think, I smell something in the air. I think it's a turning point. I'm feeling good. I'm loving the bats. I think it's hilarious that we bring Jack up and then, you know, all the offense starts really coming in, even though he's not producing. I mean, he's looking good, but, you know, obviously the stats aren't quite there yet. But, I'm psyched. I think we're going to look back at this point and, you know, we're all going to be like, that was it. And I love that our turning point hopefully was against St. Louis because love beating the Redbirds. So
no doubt.
Thanks.
No doubt. Way to get us back on track, man. I appreciate that phone call. Opens up a line for you. 913-586-7965. Our Guaranteed Foods player of the game tonight. We're going with Angel Zerpa, and I think you all understand why. 3 innings of 1-hit relief. Cole Reagans didn't have a fastball tonight. Didn't have command, didn't have control, didn't have velocity. Reagans is out of the game after 3. And Angel Zerpa looks like the guy that we saw last October staring down the barrel of Juan Soto in every single game of that ALCS. Now, he looked better than that. I mean, he had that fastball running into the kitchen of right-handers. Blowing 97 past Wilson Contreras, getting Nolan Arenado, getting a sword off of Nolan there with a slider in the dirt in the 5th. He blows 96 past Velade. Just an outstanding three shutout frames for Angel Zerpa, his first nine-out appearance since the end of the 2023 season. Look at what he's done over his past 12 innings. Two walks, one earned run. That's what we were hoping for right out of the gate. And boy, what a boost that could be with hopefully Lucas Erceg returning soon. But with the uncertainty surrounding Hunter Harvey, man, you need this Angel Zerpa. You need this Zerpa for the home stretch. You need this guy for the remaining 99 games. So Zerpa's three innings, grown man innings, team picking up innings, makes him tonight's Guaranteed Foods Player of the Game. And for being named our Player of the Game, Angel's going to receive a delicious gourmet dinner for two from Guaranteed Foods to prepare and enjoy at home. You're going to love it. Couple of fillets. You get those the baked potatoes, some asparagus. You're going to be all set up. It's going to be delivered to your home, courtesy of Guaranteed Foods. So congratulations again to tonight's winning pitcher and our Guaranteed Foods Player of the Game, Angel Zerpa. Zerpa now 3-0 on the season. All right, let's go to Chad in Kansas City. Chad, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Super happy to be on. Big thing for me is you said grown man innings. Angel Zerpa, what a comeback. You know, started the season slow. Yeah. I hope we keep to see this from the bullpen. You know, they're starting to step up. We got Daniel Lynch as a reliable guy, or Zerpa as a reliable guy. I'm really excited to see where we're headed. I can't wait to get Erceg back. What do you think?
Yeah. I think, I appreciate the phone call. To piggyback off of that, you know, I think you are right that the bullpen is stepping up. Well, shoot, I just mentioned the numbers that they put up in this series alone. But a large reason why the bullpen, in my opinion, is able to step up in the fashion that they have in this series against St. Louis is what this rotation did in April and May. Right? We entered the month of June, and no bullpen had been used less than the Royals because no rotation had logged more innings than the boys in blue. So now when you find yourself in a jam because Reagan's doesn't have it, because Lorenzen stunk in the opener, you have some options out there, some fresh options. Shoot, even the guys that aren't fresh, take the ball, answer the bell. Look at Carlos Estevez today. Takes the loss in game one and picks up the save in game two. Estevez, congratulations on your 100th career save. 18th on the season, that's second most in Major League Baseball. And look at the year that Estevez is having. I know you guys like to dump on him. Guy has a sub-2 ERA across 27 appearances. And they're all high-leverage appearances. You don't bring Carlos Estevez in mop-up duty. 27 high-leverage appearances, and he's put up an ERA of 1.95. My game notes following this 7-5 Royals victory. My game notes are brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow. Be in the know and call Jay's Southland Tow. Again, I'm interested in your thoughts. Are you now a believer in this offense? Three games in St. Louis, you score more than four runs in all three of them. Are you a believer in the resurgent offense that we've seen since Jack Caglione showed up? I don't know how you can dismiss his presence. I understand he's 1-for-13, but when Salvi's at the dish and I'm on the mound, I look over at the on-deck circle, and with all due respect to John Rave and Nick Lofton, Michael Massey and Drew Waters, I see that monster in the on-deck circle. I'm going to pitch Salvi differently because I don't want to see that dude. I'm not excited to face Salvi. But if I saw Nick Lofton or Drew Waters in the on-deck circle, Salvi's not getting anything close to the plate. But with that monster, yeah, you know what, Salvi? If you can get to this man, good luck. And Salvi could. Salvi comes through with an RBI, two-out single in the third, 111-mile-per-hour rope to left field. He does it again in the fifth, 110 miles per hour off of his bat. So the presence of Jack Caglione impacts how the Royals are being pitched, how the Royals are being prepared for, right? When the White Sox meet to talk about this Royals offense tomorrow, Jack Caglione's name's going to be brought up second or third. You know, when Davis Martin and Adrian Hauser, Shane Smith, and the relievers sit down with the pitching coach and the catchers, you're going to start with Bobby, and then you go to Jack. Maybe Vinny. Maybe Vinny number two, right? Vinny's on something else right now. He matches his career best on base streak. He's now reached base safely in 21 straight. Vinny's batting .346 since April ended. Impressive. Let's go to Cole in Leawood. Cole, you're on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, how about Mikel Garcia in the three spot this week? You know, Bobby's getting back on track. How about Bobby and Mikel getting on base for Vinny and Salvi? I like it. I'd like to see more of it going into this series against this White Sox pitching staff. Also, not to get negative, but I think Michael Lorenzen could, you know, bolster that back end of the bullpen now that Noah Cameron's out throwing gems.
I agree.
You know, just some thoughts. I'll let you take it.
Good thoughts, too. Thoughts that I'm nodding along with. Yeah, I'm with you 100%. Michael Lorenzen in the bullpen is – Michael Lorenzen being in the bullpen makes you a better team, right? He's going to, knock out – whoever is the 13th man on this pitching staff, he's gone, and Michael Lorenzen takes his spot. I love it. Now, Noah Cameron can't go anywhere. Now, Lorenzen's going to start Sunday against Chicago. I guess I should mention that. But following that outing, I would imagine Lorenzen's going to mosey his way to the bullpen. And yeah, as far as Mikel Garcia, see, that's another thing that you need to take into account. I'm glad you brought it up. Not only has Jack Caglione's presence made a difference in how teams prepare and how pitchers attack this lineup, I'm sure Jack's arrival also reminds some guys of their big league debut and the fun they had, the joy they played with, and maybe that loosens guys up. Reminds them of what we're doing out here. We're living our dream, man. Let's go out here and have some fun. I'm sure that's happening. I'm sure there's also guys that are saying, I can't believe we need to turn to a 22-year-old to turn our season around. That's how, maybe it's a jolt to the competitor inside fill-in-the-blank Royal. But then you also need to take into account exactly what you brought up. Mikel's now hitting third. Mikel, who leads this team with a .311 batting average. Mikel, who leads this team in OPS as well. You dive into most numbers, Mikel's the best hitter on this team. In OPS this season of .853, it's almost 20 points better than Bobby Witt Jr. Now, Mikel Garcia, there's no reason to believe that Mikel in the three spot can't have the same impact that Lorenzo Cain moving to the three spot had on the 2015 team. Right? You see the similarities. Speed, power to all fields. Now, I'm not talking about home run power to all fields, but doubles. Opposite field double. Shoot. Mikel's home run today was an opposite field line drive home run. A two-run blast in the first. So that's playing a role in the fact that the Royals have scored more than four in three straight games. And then, let's also be real. The three stars of this lineup have left a lot to be desired in the first 2 months of the season. Bobby was really good, but not great. And Salvi and Vinny were immensely disappointing in the big moments. But this series against St. Louis, Bobby scores a run in all three games. Vinny comes through with a runner in scoring position in all three games, and so does Salvador Perez. So you add it all up, and that's why I want to know, are we a believer in the resurgent Kansas City offense? The three guys you've been waiting on all year have shown up. Mikel is more than just a spark plug in that three spot. He was a spark plug hitting five or six. You move him to the three spot, he's a star on the team. And of course, you add one of the top prospects in the sport, one of the most powerful sluggers on the planet, are you a believer? Let's go to Josh in Cedar Rapids. Josh, you're on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
What's up, Vern?
What's up, dude?
So I was listening to CDOT and Rob after – I didn't get to listen to your post-game after the first game. But were people really that mad about that cue the way he managed that first game?
Yeah, and then it became my fault. They were all blaming Q for that one.
I heard Bob Fesco lead us off tonight being a terrible leadoff hitter, but a couple of things. I don't know if it's my blue-colored glasses, but I am 100% in on this offense, and – I got two things that have led me to that is they averaged 7 runs in this series, which they haven't done all year. Usually when they have a big game, like the early game against the Brewers, they kind of sucked after the next few games on offense. And then same thing after that last game a couple weeks ago. But after Tuesday, they scored 5 yesterday or earlier today and then scored 7 tonight. So I'm 100% in on this offense. And I don't think they're going to average 7 runs a game, but you average 4 runs a game even, you're going to win a lot of games with this pitching staff.
With this pitching staff, right. No doubt. Hey, thanks for the phone call, Josh. This pitching staff has an ERA of 3.23, fourth lowest in Major League Baseball, fourth lowest in Royals history through the first 63 games. Man, I thought it was good. Fourth best in franchise history, fifth best this season in Major League Baseball. 913-586-7965. We go to Phil in Shawnee. Phil, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, Vern, how's it going?
Great, how are you?
Good, you're playing the part of Thor from the Marvel Universe. You're stealing the thunder from me. We'll start with... let's start with the B side. I love the music analogy. The B side tonight, or the greatest B side could be Don't Be Cruel, and the B side is Hound Dog. Hound Dog was the bullpen in the second game. That was the B side, and the B side looked pretty damn good, which brings us to the idea that maybe Q is going to think it's second or third time about leaving guys in for an extra inning or two if they're hot, which is what happened with Zerpa and Cruz. And let's hope that they do that more often, because I think when a guy gets in a groove, keep him going. Don't take him out so damn quick. That's one. Secondly, I'm reminded of a movie from the early 70s, Bring Me the Head of Alfredo Garcia. In this case, Bring Me the Heart of Mikel Garcia. That guy is all heart. And I think we will remember this week as the week the offense turned around because he's in the 3 spot. Putting him in the 3 spot and putting Caglione in the 6 spot has lengthened the lineup to the point where they can score 5 or 6 runs a game. They do that the rest of the season, they might just make the playoffs.
Always a great phone call, Phil. You always make the show better, buddy. I appreciate it. There's a line open for you. Grab it. The phone number is 913-586-7965. Mikel Garcia reaches base 4 times tonight, steals a pair of bases, doubles, homers, pair of walks, and yeah, the toughness. I mean, the guy fouled the ball off his ankle, right at the front of the ankle, and he was down for a while. He was down so long, I'm thinking, oh my God, did he severely hurt something? Is this more than just, you know, the type of bruise that's going to make it tough to move around tomorrow? And he was down for a minute, but Mikel climbs back to his feet after fouling the 3rd pitch off of that at-bat in the top of the 5th inning. Now, at this point, the Royals find themselves up 6-5 in the top of the 5th inning. We got a long way to go, and it feels like it's going to be bumpy. Mikel gets ahead in the count 2-0 and then fouls that one off his ankle. Now, there's no way he can see straight, think clearly. All he can feel is pain. All he can hear is screams in his head. I mean, that's what I'm imagining. I know he's tougher than me, but he's still a human being. He still bleeds, right? So the 3rd pitch, he fouls it off his ankle, and he ends up battling for 8 pitches an 8-pitch battle with the starting pitcher, the lefty, Matthew Liberatore. Mikel ends up working a walk, steals second base. Vinny executes again. Vinny had a nice night. I know he went 1-for-5, but he had a pair of productive outs, which is exactly what this team hasn't done much this season. When the situation says you cannot punch out, the Royals have punched out way too much this season. But with Mikel on second and nobody out, Vinny, you better not punch out. I called you the undeniable one once again earlier today. Vinny didn't punch out. He rolled it over to the right side, advances Mikel to third, and Salvi gets him in. Speaking of toughness, how about that plate appearance from Salvi? Falls behind 0-2, battles for 10 pitches with lefty John King. Keep in mind, only 2 of the 10 pitches were even in the zone, but Salvi battles him and takes a 95-mile-per-hour sinker off of his shoe tops and blasted into left field for an RBI knock. Salvi puts the boys ahead 7-5. That would be your final score. Phone lines are open. 913-586-7965 is the phone number. Again, 913-586-7965. Let's go to Steve in Overland Park. Steve, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Thanks, Vern. I really like your description of how Salvi battled and got a knock to left field. And all this talk about, you know, the...
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Offense is, it's very exciting. It really is. Cags coming up. It's just awesome. But I tell you, for this long-term Royals fan, I mean, I went to 23rd and Brooklyn in 1969 and watched them. I was a beer vendor for 7 years out there, put myself through college. And I have so many great memories of this team. But I got to tell you where it all started, in my opinion, is when Cotrero said at the beginning of spring training last year in the 24 campaign, we're going to throw strikes. To me, that's the whole enchilada, because in 23, we walked every third guy, and in 24, we started throwing strikes. And so my history is, oh, man, back in the days of Lee Brandt and Jackson I'm trying to think of the young man who had a ERA of 0.5 in the 85 World Series, and I can't think of his name. Fantastic.
Bud Black, Mark Gubiza, Brett Saberhagen.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, it's been a long day for me. But now, you know, I mean, the last time we did it in 14 and 15, it was HDH, it was pitching. And so everybody talks about how great our pitching is. And what's really fun right now is, hey, we're talking about offense. What a great concept. But I tell you, yeah, the way we're going to get there is by throwing strikes and having guys who can paint the black and not throw it down the middle. And earlier, you know, you talked about how some of us rag on Estevez sometimes. And I was one of those, because sometimes Estevez comes in and he throws batting practice down the middle, but he's gotten better at that. He doesn't throw it down the middle. Yeah. And so if we have pitching that can throw it on the black, we'll be just fine.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for the phone call. I don't necessarily agree with everything that you had to say. Sometimes, like, a guy like Cole Reagans is just throwing it down the middle. His stuff is so good and moves so well that guys still can't square it up. Now, I'm not talking about the stuff that Cole Reagans had tonight. Throwing strikes is important. You're not winning baseball games without quality pitching. I think it's a little bit deeper than Q standing up in front of the team in spring training and saying throw strikes. I think it has more to do with paying Michael Wacha to come throw strikes for you. paying Seth Lugo to come throw strikes for you, acquiring Cole Reagans to come throw strikes for you. That's why the 2024 team was so good. They had good players. They had good pitchers. You didn't have that in 2023. You had the old man, you know, Zach Greinke, trying to trick people with smoke and mirrors. You know, Brady Singer figuring out who he is. Now, the new pitching staff, mindset, pitching department, yeah, I'm with you. It is a new day in Kansas City. This is now a place where if the money's equal, pitchers are coming to Kansas City to work with Brian Sweeney and Zach Bove under the tutelage of Paul Gibson. Kansas City is now a place you seek out because of A, the ballpark, 2, the coaching staff, 3, the defense, throwing to Salvi and Freddie and having Bobby behind you. And now having Jack Caglione behind you as well. No doubt about it, though. And this was my message really throughout April and May and continues into June. I understand how frustrating the offense has been to watch. Trust me, I've watched every single pitch of every single game. But if you were to ask me, Vern, if you could choose one aspect of the game to be dominant in, what would you choose? It'd be starting pitching. And the Royals this season have been dominant when it comes to starting pitching. One of the 5 best rotations in all of Major League Baseball, and when healthy, I don't think it's a debate. They are the best in the sport. I appreciate the phone call. Let's go to Tanner in Blue Springs. Tanner, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Just a couple quick points. Last time I called in, we were talking about Michael Garcia and how clutch he was and how he came up for us, and we're talking about it again. I just hope that he gets voted in as an all-star this year because he deserves it. Second thing, I don't know why all these people are on Q's back. I mean, this series was an amazing, entertaining against a cross-state rival and a good team, and we were only an inning away from a sweep. So how about we just cool it for a second? And last thing I just want to say is Cags has definitely, I think, resurged this offense, and I think that he's going to go deep in the south side maybe a couple times. I'm going to call it. But that's all I wanted to say, Vern. Thank you.
Can't wait for it. I'm just wondering, how far does it go? What would we set the over-under at for Cags' first home run? I should text that to Gold. He would have a pretty good idea. See, I think the over-under for distance for Jack Caglione's first home run, I'll put it at 415.5. But I think everybody's going to pound the over, right? Maybe you got to bump that up to 419.5. How about that? Over under, let me know. Text line 913-586-7965. Cags tonight 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts. Swings through a slider in the second after falling behind 0-2. Swings through a sinker at 94 after falling behind 1-2. And swings through a curveball in the dirt after falling behind 0-2. So they're coming right at the young man. You're not seeing them nibble. It's here it is, hit it. And Cags has been aggressive. He's not sitting back waiting for big league pitching to carve him up. He's up there hacking. I like it. I'm with you. I'm hoping to see him go deep on the south side as well. Nice to hear from you, Tanner. Let's go to Chuck in Pleasant Hill. Chuck, you're on the postgame show. Go ahead, buddy.
Vern, hey, how far away is that hotel, the nice one with the water park, kind of catty corner to Kauffman across my 70? Was that about 2,500 feet? I say Cags puts one through the top window of the floor in that hotel. That's my over on it.
Maybe doing him a favor, yeah. That place is a mess.
I said a naughty word. Sorry. Don't knock me off.
Well, hey. I kind of have to. You just called yourself out. I didn't hear it. Hopefully the producer caught it. Clean it up. Chuck, I think that's twice, man. You can't have a conversation without saying a dirty word. I didn't hear what it is. Maybe it didn't. I don't know. Whatever. Hey, Chuck, appreciate the phone call, and I hope Jack Caglione hits one 2,500 feet. We go to Tom and Lee Summit. Tom, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Just wanted to get back to pitching, starting pitching. Lugo had a rough outing, his last outing, off rehab. And, you know, obviously Lorenzen didn't have a great game, and Reagan's off rehab did not have a great game. So I'm just kind of curious what your insight is to, like, we've had three starters have pretty poor performances, you might say. Do you believe that we will still – like be dominant with starting pitching? I mean, obviously they're off rehab, but I mean, it kind of.
What about the other three? Yeah, you could, because listen, you mentioned Reagans, Lugo, and Lorenzen. Lorenzen, who's likely out of the rotation after Sunday, and you skim over the fact that Noah Cameron threw six shutouts, Chris Bubich threw seven innings of one run baseball, and Michael Wacha threw seven shutouts. So. No, it hasn't been an immaculate run through the rotation, but it's still been pretty darn good. You had three dominating performances, two dominating performances from your bullpen, and really just one stinker mixed into the group. So, yeah, I expect this pitching staff to remain dominant so long as they stay healthy. I mean, if Reagans and Lugo are still banged up, if something else pops up that removes them from the rotation, I reserve the right to change my opinion.
Of course, right. But, I mean, Reagans has had this groin, what now, twice this season. And I guess Lugo's not like the youngest of us all.
Sure.
I'm just wondering if you believe that they will be able to get back to form, like pre-injury. And especially since, like, the –
we better
offense
hope
is
so.
Turning. It just kind of like, I it would be nice to see a complete game with this offense finally turning. And I'll get off and just hear your thoughts.
Yeah, well, you better hope so. You know, I'm not holding anything back. I don't know anything. You know, I'll be interested to see Lugo's arsenal moving forward. You know, the injury that he had, the strained right middle finger, I wouldn't be surprised if a pitch or two, right, a guy throws 8-10 different pitches, you know, three different curveballs, a couple different types of sliders, and you're putting a lot of stress, you know, on that elbow, on that forearm. Maybe he needs to lop off a few of those pitches. Maybe some of the newly implemented offerings are the reason why we're seeing aggravation in the right hand of Seth Lugo. We'll see. But you need Cole Reagans to be Cole Reagans. And you know this. This is why you're calling up. You need Seth Lugo to be really good, because until we all feel confident that this offense is good enough to lead this team, which I can't imagine that happening until after the trade deadline at the earliest. But until we get to a point where you believe this team can be led by its offense, no, you need Reagans to be good, and you need Lugo to be good. Maybe not great like they were last year, but you need them to be good to very good. And yeah, I still believe they're going to be just that, because that's who Cole Reagans has been since coming to Kansas City. That's who Seth Lugo's been since becoming a starting pitcher in San Diego. So yes, I believe those two will return to form so long as their body and health allows them to do so. Appreciate the phone call. We are very late for a break. I apologize. We got to take a quick timeout. We get right back to your phone calls as the Royals take the finale in St. Louis. 7-5 the final score. Back to you after this.
You're listening to Vern's Postgame Show, brought to you by Guaranteed Foods. Guaranteed Foods, delivering all natural foods direct to families since 1958. Call 913-888-5000 or visit GuaranteedFoods.com. Make sure to subscribe to the All Things Vern podcast channel to stay up to date with your boys in blue. This is your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Guaranteed Foods knows that you've been wishing there was a better way to feed your family. You want to eat healthier, but you still want to stretch dollars. You want somewhere where the quality of every product is unconditionally guaranteed even after you consumed it. You know, you want a place that's not shipping you a box of food and just throwing it on your doorstep and saying, hey, you better hurry up and make it or it's going to spoil. That's why we have Guaranteed Foods. And by the way, they didn't get the name Guaranteed Foods by accident. Now, back in 1958, right here in Kansas City, five people started Guaranteed Foods. Their vision was to provide better, easier, and safer ways to feed growing families. And they knew they would back it by the best guarantee in the food industry. And today, well, Guaranteed Foods is the most respected home food service in North America. They make healthy eating fun, easy, and affordable. My wife and I, we absolutely love it. You will too. Call or click today.
888-5000. Guaranteed Foods. Or GuaranteedFoods.com.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan. Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
Yeah, gorgeous play by a gorgeous ball player, Bobby Witt Jr. Bailing out Cole Ragans, who could do nothing right in that third inning. Ragans, who was just given three runs by his offense in the top half of the inning, carries a 5-1 lead to the bottom of the third. Walks the first batter he faces for the second time in three innings. Gets ahead of Brendan Donovan 0-2, but then allows a single up the middle. Wilson Contreras, he gets a cutter in the middle of the plate. Again, Ragans was not good. Poor command at times, poor control, and really no velocity on the fastball. So anyway, leadoff walk and then the single to Donovan as he leaves a 94-mile-per-hour fastball in the middle of the dish, 88 in the middle to Contreras for a two-run double, and just like that, a 5-1 lead is now a 5-3 Royals lead. Bobby then makes that outstanding defensive play to allow Cole Ragans to breathe, but only for a limited time because four pitches later, Ragans would leave 93 at the knees to Nolan Arenado. He would blast it for a two-run shot to tie the game up at five, but Bobby was outstanding once again defensively, making up for those mistakes in game one. And then at the dish, Bobby goes 1-for-5, scores the first run of the game. He did strike out three times. But all's well that ends well. Royals take the finale 7-5. They win the series in St. Louis and split the 2025 I-70 series. That outstanding Superman catch from Bobby Witt Jr. was tonight's MVP Air Conditioning Cool Play of the Game. It's brought to you by MVP Air Conditioning, Heating, Plumbing, and Electric. Get your AC ready for summer and running efficiently with a tune-up for only $39. Go to the MVPKC.com or call 913-322-0868 today. MVP, one call does it all. Royals are now 33-30 on the season. 99 games to play. Let's go to Big T and Shawnee. Big T, you're on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Yeah, good stuff, Vern. Thanks for taking my call. So first of all, I just want to start out that one guy that always cut. You can do it. You just got to know how to do it. For example, we're all the hot damn idiots who called in earlier crying, whining, bitching, and moaning about Q. How about those moves in the second game, Vern? Zerpa, Cruz and Estevez. Take my hat off to them cats. Good job. And then, you know, answer your question, Vern. Phil touched on a little bit too, some other callers. It's no coincidence this lineup's lengthened now. You got a bohemian, a monster batting six. It's just a matter of time before you unlock his talents. He's up early. Give him time. He'll be fine. But he's a presence. And when you do that, I've been yammering for Garcia to bat first or up in the order higher. He handles the bat. He has better on-base percentage, slug. It's you touched it with Kane. That was a perfect example, Vern. Way to go by you. And then and Salvi, you needed him fourth. You got him at fifth. And then Vinny. And then it's no coincidence, too. We're bearing fruit out of that first spot, Vern. How about India? He's getting hot. Salvi and Vinny. So those guys are all getting hot now. And if we just be patient, you're going to see this offense take off. Way to go, Cameron, in the first game. I didn't get a chance. I was working. But I wanted to give him a shout-out. And, you know, you can't bag on being armchair skipper. This is a better town than this. Where are you at tonight when we're winning now? Where's your calls? When you take
what have you been listening to, Big T? I appreciate the phone call. I don't know what you've been listening to. People second-guess Andy Reid. You think they're not going to second-guess Matt Quatrero? I got no issue with people second-guessing the manager. That's why this show exists. It's just the reluctance that people have to blame the players, I always find astonishing. That's not surprising. You guys did the same thing to Haas and Gordo and Kane back in the day. You would blame everybody but your favorites. And you did that earlier today, too. You blame the manager instead of blaming Bobby Witt Jr. Bobby's a big boy. He's paid handsomely to carry the pressure, to carry the brunt, the burden. He can handle it. He came back just fine in game two. Big T, always nice to hear from you, pal. Bobby leads the team with 34 runs scored. Scored one in the nightcap, one earlier this afternoon, and two back on Friday as he drove in a season-high four. Speaking of Noah Cameron, the pride of St. Joe, let's head there now and talk with Taylor. You're on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead. Taylor, you're on the postgame show. What's going on? Not there. That's fine. Probably recapping or watching highlights of Noah Cameron, who was sensational earlier today, spinning six innings of two-hit baseball, lowering his ERA to 0.85. Is that right? Let me pull that out, make sure I got it. That just doesn't sound right. I know it's something eye-popping. Is it 0.85? I got all these game notes. Yeah. Wow. Impressive. Five starts in. He's given you six and a third innings every time he takes the ball, on average. A 0.85 ERA. And in 31 and two-thirds innings of work, Cameron is allowed a total of 25 base runners. Wow. Speaking of that, how about Steven Cruz? Cruz cruised through his two innings tonight. Eight pitches to retire the heart of the Cardinals' order in the seventh. And then after allowing an infield single to Nolan Arenado in the eighth, he goes strikeout to Alec Burleson, strikeout Nolan Gorman, strikeout Victor Scott. Two innings, outstanding, dominating stuff from the hard-throwing right-hander. His 22nd appearance this season, Steven Cruz's ERA is now down to 1.61. He has 20 strikeouts. He's allowed 19 base runners. Very impressive. And I was about to say something negative about a former Royal, but there's no need to. Let's just celebrate Steven Cruz. Let's go to Casey in Kansas City. Casey, you're on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
What's up, Vern? How's it going?
All right, buddy. How you doing?
Not bad. I kind of forgot what I was going to say, but
it's all good. Just make something
going
up.
Back to Cag's home run thing, only way he hits it less than 420 is if he just hits it like 120 miles off of that, like just barely over the wall, doesn't get 10 feet off the ground. I think it's going 450-plus, his first home run.
I hope so, man. But see, if he does that, I want him to do it at Kauffman Stadium. Like, I want him to go to a place deep in the hydration station, right? I want him to make me forget about the Mike Trout home run I saw back in 2014 that was the furthest I've ever seen at the K. That's what I want, Cags. That's how I want him to introduce himself to Kansas City next week when they welcome the New York Yankees.
Oh, yeah, that would be awesome. Also, that'd be nice. Shout out to my other brother, Mason. I forgot to shout him out the other night, but
good.
There
man.
We go.
Well, I'm glad you got that in there. Good stuff, Casey. Thanks for the phone call, buddy. Let's go to Landon, who's next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead, Landon.
Hey, Vern. Oh, thank you for having me on the show.
course. Sure. Good to have you.
I have a couple questions.
Okay.
One, do you think the Royals will sweep this weekend?
No, I don't.
And then
what else?
What do you think the Royals are going to do? You think the Royals are going to trade?
Definitely. Yeah, I think they need to add a bat. Now, I hope that they don't, right? I hope we get to a place where India, Bobby, Michael, Vinny, Salvi, Cags is a, well, that is the 1-6.
Yeah.
Now, you know what?
The results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par with me, Maury Povich, wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what I would like to see? I would like to see another right-handed bat. Allow Salvi to move down to that 7 spot. Bring me somebody to hit behind Vinny in front of Cags. Allow Sal to be that protector for Caglione. And then in the 8-9 spots, I'm fine running Izzy out there, Drew Waters out there. Nick Lofton's been really impressive. Lofton's only played in 8 games, but he's batting .292 with 4 extra base hits. I mentioned the extra base hits because this guy only had 5 in 56 games last year. He has 4 in 8 games this year. So I'd be fine with any collection of 2 outfielders or 2 bats. Take your pick for the 8-9 spots in the lineup. But, yeah, I still think they need to add a bat for the middle of the lineup to take some of the burden off of the 35-year-old Salvador Perez, especially if you expect him to catch down the stretch.
All right. Thank you for having me on the show.
Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling up, man. I really appreciate it. I used to do the same thing when I was your age, except I didn't make as much sense as you make when you call up. Hopefully I'm doing better on that front some 30 years later. Nice hearing from you, Landon. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7965. I mean, there's absolutely no reason to believe that this team won't be aggressive at the trade deadline. And I'll reiterate what I had to say after the team called up Cags on Monday. To me, the promotion of Jack Caglione symbolizes a new era of Royals baseball. If last year's trip to the postseason was one foot stepping into the new era, the promotion of Jack Caglione is the other foot. We are now fully in the third golden age of Royals baseball. And hopefully it lasts longer. I think it will last longer than this, but it's going to go at least until 2030. As they're building the new ballpark, they need to prove to Bobby, this is your home for the rest of your career. At the end of the 2030 season, Bobby Witt Jr. can opt out, can renegotiate his contract or get a new contract with the Royals or test free agency. Also, after the 2030 season, Jack Caglione will be 27 and a year away from free agency. New ballpark, Bobby decision, Cags decision. Until then, it's World Series or bust every single season. The floor is making the playoffs. The goal is to win the World Series. Yeah, I view Bobby and Cags as a Mahomes-Kelsey type of duo. That's the hope. Obviously, those are the two greatest at what they do. Bobby and Cags have a long way to go to reach that mountaintop that Patrick and Travis have their feet up on. Now, I get all of that, but I'm talking about two of the most marketable players in the sport repping Kansas City. You're going to put a winner around those guys. You're going to spend money because, A, we're building this new ballpark. We want the excitement to continue to grow. And also, we got to prove to Bobby that this is your home, that there's nowhere else you would rather be. So for me, the next 5.5 years are going to be something that we haven't seen in this town since the late 70s. Because World Series didn't become the expectation until 2015. And it was there for 3 years. And then it disappeared. You know, we start talking mid to late 70s. World Series was the expectation almost every single season, going all the way up until winning it all in 1985. That's how I view this team now. Aggressively attacking in every single facet. Trades, waiver claims, free agency, drafting and developing both internationally and here in the States. top to bottom, from ownership to the front office to the coaching staff to the players on the field, who doesn't act the way that every fan base wants them to act? Right? Think about it. You have an ownership that pays a superstar like Bobby Witt Jr., allows his general manager to part with prospects and take on money to go for it like he did last season, like he did the year before. A front office that doesn't say, hey, we lost Vinny Pasquantino. Boy, we had a good run, but I guess that's over. No, a front office that says, Yuli Gurriel and Robbie Grossman and Tommy Pham, man, we're not giving up. We're doing all we can to get to October. A coaching staff that can move a guy like Mikel Garcia up to the three spot. Can make sure that all 13 position players are pulling on the same end of the rope, are happy with their roles, even if it's as a part-time player. You know, a collection of ball players that show up every single day with the expectation of winning, not with the burden of, while this franchise isn't very good, it's a small market team that doesn't go to the playoffs outside of once every few decades. Now, you have winners, competitors, aggressive men and women with the sole focus of winning the whole dang thing and being consistently competitive in the American League. That's what you have top to bottom. So, again, yes, I expect them to be aggressive at the deadline. 2 years ago, they needed pitching help, and they brought in Cole Reagans. Turns out to be one of the 10 best lefties on the planet. Last year, they needed bullpen help. They bring in Lucas Urseg. Turns out to be one of the 10 best relievers on the planet. And right now, they need a bat. And I could certainly go for one of the 10 best bats on the planet. I don't see it happening again, but why not? Why not dream a little? Why not put your faith in a front office that has delivered so much so quickly? Let's go to Colin in the Northland. Colin, you're on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Great to talk to you again. I got a group chat with a bunch of buddies, and I posted today saying that you were spot on with your take about Bobby Witt Jr. and that first game being on him. You're 100% right. And then we get to
Did
the second game. You also said in that after the first game, you said Bobby's going to be laser focused in the second game. And then we see that miraculous catch off of Herrera's bat. I mean, that was incredible, right?
Amazing.
I just want to say, I finally think this team's come together. You know, we lose Reagans and Lugo for a little bit, and then we get Noah Cameron coming up, right?
Right.
And
right.
He's just been amazing, and then they call up Jack, and that sparks the offense, right? Mm-hmm. And I just really think this team's finally coming together. We can really make a push here. You know, the division is honestly wide open, in my opinion. What do you think?
I appreciate the phone call. I know I think that. No, Detroit seems like clearly the best team in the division. Royals are 1-5. Or excuse me, the Royals need to go 5-1 against Detroit in those final six meetings if they're going to win the season series. Royals play Detroit 6 times in a 10-day stretch at the end of August. Can they win 5 of 6? Of course they can. Would I expect them to? No. Maybe 4 of the 6. Maybe you get 2 series victories, but to take 2 of 3 in Detroit and then sweep them in Kansas City, that's a tall task, right? That's a difficult ask. So if I'm already admitting that the season series is going to Detroit, to track them down means they need to help out just as much as you need to help out your own case, right? You need Detroit to come back to the pack, and outside of an injury, I don't know how that happens. Royals are 7.5 games back of the Tigers. 7.5 back with 99 to play. I get it. But you need to, again, win 5 of the 6 meetings between those two teams and hope that someone key to that team. See, I don't even like saying, I don't even like talking about injuries like that. You never root for an injury. Tigers are 18 games above 500. Second best run differential in the American League. Third best in the sport. Royals are now 33-30. So I don't think that the division is wide open. I think it goes through Detroit. Now, maybe Cleveland or Minnesota. I don't know their season record against Detroit, how they fared against the Tigers. But I know the Royals had their chance. And offensively, they were completely disappointing in that series at Kauffman Stadium. And that was, not solely, but that was an impetus to bring Jack Caglione up. Once you wasted that gem from Michael Wacha, you just couldn't sit idly by anymore as the offense officially started to hurt you. I got in plenty of arguments on this show when people would call up in early May and say, Vern, the offense is killing us. And I'd normally respond with, what are you talking about? They're on pace to win 93, 95 games. It's not killing them yet. But that Detroit series. Now, it's silly to wave a white flag when it comes to the division title. I get it. And maybe I'm being a defeatist. But that series loss at home to the Detroit Tigers, to me, doesn't completely kill, but boy, is it a vicious wound to your division chances. Now that offense is really starting to hurt as it may have killed your division chances. So, yeah, now you are right. The offense was killing the boys. So you call up Cags, and what do you know? For the first time all season, the Royals have scored more than four runs in three straight games. First time it's happened since the end of August of last year. Let's go to Chad in Overland Park. Chad, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, thanks for taking my call today, sir.
Of course.
Does it not feel good to take the rubber game against the Cards 2 out of 3 on the I-70 series? It's got to feel nice for us at home here. But, Vern, my question to you is, I don't get how you can always put up with some of these people who call you on the air. And I think there was a guy about a week and a half ago, maybe it was May 21st, somewhere around there, who said the Royals are going to win 2 out of the next 18 or 20 games. I mean, how do you go about just putting up with some of these jabronis, man? Thank you for taking my call. I'll listen off the air.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the money's for, right? From Mad Men. You know. You should see what they say on the text line. I appreciate people that call up because that means you're listening. That means you're invested in the team. I appreciate the phone calls. I love some of the text messages. Yeah, it's very easy. I mean, what are we doing here? We're talking baseball. Vicky in Shawnee. Always love talking baseball with Vicky. How are you, my friend?
Hey, you know, you really make me happy at your description of the game. The whole game I watch, you know, and I can't wait to hear the callers afterwards. The joy and the enthusiasm that you bring to your show. I don't have many outlets anymore. I got radio and TV, so I listen to a lot of sports, radio, you know. So your enthusiasm and your humanity for your people that call in, I look forward to it every single night because it makes me happy. Because, you know, when you get older and you can't get around like you used to and you can't get accessible stuff, you know, this is one thing that I can really be happy about because you really make my life very happy. And I love to hear all the callers that because you make the show appreciative and wonderful. Wow. And your descriptions are just outstanding, you know, and you just give me joy and peace. And I look forward to the callers on your show because sometimes I cry because I wish I could meet all these wonderful fans, but I can't get to the stadium anymore, you know, and stuff like that.
Sure.
So this is one of my one outlets. I just have to tell you how happy I am listening to this because it's not one of the very few things that we get to do now. When you get older, you know, you sure. can't do like you used to. You know,
right. Well, hey, Vicky, I greatly appreciate. Yeah, no, I greatly appreciate you saying all that, and it's my pleasure. And you know, again, it all begins with the players. Vicky, thank you very much for the phone call. It begins with the guys out there on the diamond, right? Without them, there is no post-game show. There is no. You know, fans, and yeah, no doubt. Vicky, thanks for the phone call. And shoot, I mean, you guys laying out these phone calls is the only reason why this show exists. Royals win 7-5. They take the finale in St. Louis. I would imagine they're going to be favorites tomorrow. So this stretch where the Royals have been the underdogs in 20 straight road games likely comes to an end tonight. Royals went 12-8 in that stretch. 12-8 on the road despite being underdogs in every single game. That's pretty impressive. Tomorrow it's Seth Lugo squaring off with Davis Martin. 6:40 first pitch. I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 5:30. Well, if you're on hold, stay right there. We get right back to your phone calls after this.
You're listening to Vern's Postgame Show, brought to you by Guaranteed Foods. Guaranteed Foods, delivering all natural foods direct to families since 1958. Call 913-888-5000 or visit GuaranteedFoods.com. Make sure to subscribe to the All Things Vern podcast channel to stay up to date with your boys in blue. This is your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Yeah, you know what? I always try to be truthful, and I would imagine there are a lot of people driving around going, Vicky, chill out. He's just a sports radio host. I would do that job for free. Well, you're right, and in this profession, you don't make a ton of money, and that's one of the many reasons why I love Guaranteed Foods. Yes, I love the healthy, delicious food that we get from Guaranteed Foods, but man, I love the money that we save. You know, no longer having all that food on hand at my fingertips 24/7, I'm not going shopping as often, so I'm saving at least, you know, $25 to $50 a week. You know how it is. You go to the grocery store and you're like, oh, what's this bag of junk? Let me buy that. You know, those impulse buys? I'm not doing that anymore. Plus, with all this quick, healthy food on hand, we're eating at home more often, not eating out. And you know how expensive that is. That's $50 a week, $100 a week if you're taking the whole family out. Now, what I love the most is the individually portioned packaging of their meats, fish, poultry. Because now my wife and I, we can just fix what we need. There's no leftovers and there's no wasted food. It's Guaranteed Foods, man. Check it out for yourself. It's not just great food and great service. It's a dollar stretcher as well. Find out for yourself.
888-5000. Guaranteed Foods. Or GuaranteedFoods.com. Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan. Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
Here's the pitch. Fastball lifted down the right field line, tailing toward the corner. Belades over. It's gone. Off the pole. Home run. Opposite field. Mikel Garcia puts the Royals up 2-0.
First pitch, 95-mile-per-hour fastball out over the dish from the lefty Matthew Liberatore. Mikel Garcia belts it on a line 349 feet just inside the right field foul pole. His sixth of the season, Mikel goes 2-for-3 on the day, scores 3 runs in a game for the first time all season. Mikel's batting 330 away from Kauffman Stadium. That's top 10 in Major League Baseball. Royals win 7-5. They take the finale in St. Louis. We head to Oklahoma City and talk with Chris. You're on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Vern, appreciate you having me on. I just want to start with Bobby in that first game, just because could you imagine if India or Massey or literally anyone else had the defensive miscues Bobby had in that game, we would be talking about literally anything. Well, we wouldn't be talking about Q in the bullpen, that's for sure. Bobby doesn't need your sympathy. He doesn't need your excuses, your scapegoat, because he's going to come out, he's going to hit a ball 114 miles per hour, get on base for Garcia, and then go Superman, because that's what he is at his best, with Superman. So just wanted to get that out there, that Bobby's the best. But In regards to your question about the lineup, I don't know how you couldn't be optimistic about this lineup. I mean, through nine, with the way not only the top is, but if this Nick Lofton is, I mean, he's going to fit right into a nice little platoon in that eighth spot one of these days when they ever get that right-handed bat, whether it be a Taylor Ward or whoever they may go grab. I really love what they're doing. You know, sometimes you have to find your flow. I mean, Alcides Escobar made no sense as a leadoff hitter, but it flowed. And while Mikel Garcia makes way more sense in the three-hole than Esky did at the leadoff spot, if that's the flow that makes this offense go, then I can't wait to see what this team has.
That's a great phone call, Chris. Nice to have you. Thank you very much. Opens up a phone line for you, 913-586-7965. You mentioned Nick Lofton. Well, Mark Canna got that fourth inning started with a double into left field that he would come across to score on Nick Lofton's RBI double. Mark Canna's batting .324 this season against left-handers. Now, Freddie Fermin from the nine spot reaches base three times today, including a leadoff home run in the third. Freddie's batting .281 over his last month of baseball. Yeah, you have options, right? The Royal, like we've liked Drew Waters and Kyle Isbell and Nick Lofton and Freddie Fermin and Mark Canna. We've liked these guys. John Rave. Right, as a fan base, we've liked these guys basically all season. The Royals have just put them in spots where you're asking them to be something that they're not. They're table setters, not table clearers. You need some pop on the team. And, well, Jack Caglione certainly provides that. He's 1-for-13 through his first series in the big leagues, but his presence is unmistakable. Matthew Libitor, Miles Michaelis, they're all aware. Just like, who is it? Will Venable, the manager of the White Sox. Davis Martin, the starter, coming up tomorrow. Adrian Hauser on Saturday and Shane Smith on Sunday. They're all going to be aware of Jack Caglione. You need table setters and you need table clearers. For most of this season, the team didn't have any table clearers outside of Bobby Witt Jr. Now Vinny, look at what Vinny's done over the past few weeks. He's been the undeniable Vinny Pasquantino of late. His last 2 weeks, 4 walks, 4 strikeouts, hitting better than .300 with runners in scoring position. Vinny, Bobby, Salvi, those are table clearers. They cleared every table last year. And now you got Cags to join the fight. And you're all set on table setters. Jonathan India, Bobby, Lofton, Waters, Izzy. You love that 7-8-9 leading right into the speed at the top of the lineup. Speed at the bottom, speed at the top, and thump in the middle. Give a little bit of love to Jonathan India. His first 28 games as a Royal, he hit .216 with an OPS of .590. In his last 28 games, he's batting .277 with an OPS better than league average, an OPS of .714. Jonathan India, looking like the table setter this team acquired in the offseason. Let's go to Ryan in Kansas City. Ryan, you're on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, so enough about Cags right now. He took the words right out of my mouth, but how do you feel about India setting the tempo for the doubleheader with the second hit being, or the second pitch being a home run, and then putting in 2 RBIs?
Yeah, I'll let you listen to that phone call, Ryan. I appreciate it, buddy. Let's go to Bob. You're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead. Oh, Bob, come on, man. I know it's been a wait, but I appreciate you listening. How about Ian in Raytown? You're on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead, Ian.
So I just wanted to say, on Wednesday, you were talking about words to describe the game, and I wanted to get a word to describe the series. And for me, that's a roller coaster, because I feel like every game we'd score some runs, St. Louis would score some runs, and then the game earlier today at 2 o'clock, they or 1 o'clock, we couldn't answer back after they, you know, walked us off in extra innings. But on Wednesday and the game later tonight, we were just great at being able to answer back to their runs and having the relievers shut down after the starters gave up quite a few.
Well, yeah, you're right about the bullpen, no doubt, Ian. Bullpen in the opener back on Tuesday throws 6 1/3 innings of shutout relief. The bullpen tonight throws 6 innings of shutout relief. The Royals bullpen on the season lowers its ERA to 3.27. That's top five in all of Major League Baseball. A very impressive day, really, of Royals baseball. I know it's a 1-1 record day, a split of a doubleheader, but I don't know how you don't walk away from those two games feeling so much confidence and optimism about what's to come over the final 99 games. Yeah, a tough collapse late from the defense and the bullpen. But again, the guy that made the defensive miscue that led to the loss in game one is the best shortstop in the American League. And like I told you earlier today, that's what made it easy for me to turn the page. And as far as the bullpen coughing it up in the first game, if you want to blame the bullpen, again, I blame Bob, but if you want to blame the bullpen, okay, well, the Royals are now 22-2 when they lead after 6 innings. So you really want to harp on the bullpen? They've been doing the job. Twice you've lost when leading after 6, and we're really going to freak out about the relievers or the way in which the manager uses them? No, I don't think so. Ian, thanks for the phone call. All right, we're going to get ready now for game one in Chicago. No, I'm not going in expecting a sweep. I don't expect a 3-game sweep on the road. But I am expecting the Royals to take 2 of 3 and to clearly be the better team on the field. Remember how disastrous this White Sox team looked at Kauffman Stadium? Now, disastrous when it came to the bullpen, their defense, and their offense. Their rotation was impressive a few weeks ago at the K. We'll see if it can do it again. Game one on the south side of Chicago features Seth Lugo and Davis Martin. It's a 6:40 first pitch, and I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 5:30. Royals are now 20-14 this season, games decided by 2 runs or fewer. They win by 2 to take the rubber game in St. Louis. Again, the final score, 7-5. A special thanks to James Howell back at the studio, doing a great job as always. Thanks to you for listening and for calling. Text line, sorry didn't get to you tonight. Phone lines were too packed. But I appreciate you listening. Enjoy the rest of your, what is today, Thursday? Yeah, enjoy the rest of your Thursday night. Talk to you tomorrow. Take care.
You've been listening to Vern's Postgame Show.
Out of the track, leaps, it's gone! Michael Massey ambushes the first pitch!
Brought to you by Guaranteed Foods. Guaranteed Foods is helping thousands of Midwestern families save time, stretch dollars, and eat healthier since 1958. And you can too. Call 913-888-5000 or visit GuaranteedFoods.com.
Junior makes a catch, a tag, and a throw, and out at home plate.
To hear more from Vern during the week, tune in to Fesco and Dusty on Monday at 8:20, Cody and Gold on Wednesday at 12:30, and The Drive on Fridays at 3. This is your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. We now take you back to regularly scheduled programming.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.